Mirror, Mirror, A Good Omens Fan Fiction, written by Improbable Dreams 900. Chapter 5, Into the Inferno. "Are we close?" Aziraphale asked nervously, glancing over his shoulder and the tops of his tightly folded wings for the 100th time. They were deep in the second circle of hell, nearing the border with the third, and Aziraphale was beginning to feel certain they would soon be caught. Honestly, he wasn't sure how they avoided being seen so far, but Crowley didn't seem surprised by their luck. The demon had led the way down a series of very narrow, winding passages that Aziraphale didn't think anyone had tread upon in a millennia. How Crowley had managed to learn of what were evidently secret paths in hell was anyone's guess, but Aziraphale could wait to ask until they were safely back in his bookshop and armed against Tustur. Crowley didn't respond to Aziraphale's question, but he did hold up a hand as he drew to a soundless halt. Aziraphale lurched to a standstill behind him in the narrow tunnel, trying to peer over the top of his friend's folded wings. After a long moment, Crowley crept forward and stuck his head around the corner of the cramped passage. Then he slipped forward and out of Aziraphale's line of sight, black feathers whisking around a bulge of slick rock. Aziraphale hurried after the demon, squeezing himself none too gracefully through the narrow gap and out into a slightly wider corridor, lit by faintly smoldering torches. Crowley was nowhere to be seen. "Crowley!" Aziraphale hissed, looking back and forth down the corridor and wishing he'd had the foresight to bring a weapon. The darkness seemed oppressive, the unholy air prickling at his skin and making his feathers stand on end. The uneven floor was scattered with some sort of covering, and it rustled under Aziraphale's feet. There was a foul smell in the air as well, sour and heavy. The hallway was silent, and Aziraphale was beginning to seriously worry when Crowley suddenly reappeared around the dark outcropping off to his right. "Here," the demon hissed. "I found it." Relieved, Aziraphale padded over to him, whatever was scattered on the floor cracking and popping underfoot.
"The lock?"
"Yes," Crowley said quietly.
"Keep your voice down."
Aziraphale nodded silently as Crowley motioned for him to follow. A few meters further down the passage, the path curved slightly and terminated in a wrought iron gate. The bars of the gate vanished directly into the dark, slick rock on all sides, and the gate itself barely fit into the opening. Aziraphale moved closer and ran a hand along the junction of the edge of the gate and its barred frame, but there was no visible knob, lock, or keyhole. He pulled at the bars experimentally, but they didn't move. There was a room of some sort on the other side of the gate, but all he could see was inky blackness. The corridor brightened somewhat, and Aziraphale turned to see Crowley prodding at one of the torches on the wall. When the demon turned back, Aziraphale indicated the gate and cast his friend a questioning look, but Crowley shook his head. The demon moved back down the corridor and stopped a few meters away, just out of sight of the gate. Aziraphale followed him and traced Crowley's gaze to where a dark, grimy-looking metal lever was set into a recess in the rock wall. Crowley grabbed the lever and pulled down, grimacing a little. There was a faint, answering screech of rusty bolts being pulled back from behind Aziraphale. Crowley winced a little at the noise and quickly gestured to Aziraphale to head back towards the gate. Aziraphale did so, and when he tested the bars again, this time the gate swung open with a small creak. There was a tap on his shoulder, and Aziraphale turned back to Crowley. The demon pointed to Aziraphale, into the darkness beyond the gate, and then to the left. He mimed, turning a key. "The lock is inside and to the left," Aziraphale translated. "This gate must be the entrance to some sort of antechamber." Aziraphale nodded and took a step towards the gate. When Crowley didn't follow, Aziraphale paused and looked back at him questioningly. Crowley pointed to himself and then to the ground and looked pointedly back down the narrow corridor. "I'll stay here and keep watch," Aziraphale translated again. Aziraphale nodded and turned his attention back to the space beyond the gate. It was swathed in a thick, almost oily blackness, and there were no signs of torchlight or any other illumination. He had no concept of how deep the space was. Aziraphale hesitated and turned back to Crowley again, studying his friend's face in the dim light. Crowley's serpentine eyes gazed steadily back at him, and Aziraphale nodded and turned back to the gate. He stepped inside, wondering if he ought to risk creating a light of his own. The stench was stronger in here, reeking of smoke and sweat and urine, and it hit him like a wall. More than a little disgusted, Aziraphale raised the back of one hand to his mouth as he edged further into the space, eyes trying to penetrate the darkness in front of him. There was a higher density here of whatever was scattered over the floor, and it rustled and snapped under his feet. A very soft, faint rumble came from close by, and Aziraphale froze. There was a long moment of silence in which the only thing Aziraphale could hear was a pounding of his heart in his ears. And then the rumble came again. It was almost like a purr, a long, slow sound, almost too quiet and too low to hear. A burst of warm air brushed past Aziraphale's hand. Aziraphale swallowed and told himself that the sooner he reached the lock and retrieved the sword, the sooner he and Crowley could get out of here. He took another few steps into the darkness, feeling his breath automatically pick up as he moved his hands in front of himself and tried to make out any faint shapes in the darkness. There was a faint rumble just starting up again when the air was rent with an intense screech from behind Aziraphale. A very familiar screech, the sound of disused bolts sliding into place. Very close by, the soft rumble abruptly stuttered and cut off. Aziraphale spun and covered the half dozen meters to the gate in an instant, shoes slipping on the crinkling floor. When it was still a meter away, he could tell that Crowley was no longer there, and the gate was closed. Aziraphale skidded to a halt in front of it, locked his hands around the bars, and yanked on them, but the gate didn't budge. "Crowley!" he hissed. Had someone snuck up on the demon and knocked him out? Aziraphale hadn't heard any sounds of a struggle, but he knew that splitting up had been foolish, and he should have never left Crowley on his own, not in hell, when one of the dukes was after him. Crowley melted out of the shadows beyond the gate, and Aziraphale couldn't stop himself from gasping a little in relief as a shaky smile broke over his face. "Crowley, my dear." Crowley smiled in return, but it was a cold, indulgent smile, and it didn't reach his eyes. "Open the gate," Aziraphale said, giving the gate another quick tug. "I think there's someone else in here with me. Let me out before it wakes up." Crowley's smile widened, and he leaned easily against one of the dark stone walls. "I don't think so." Aziraphale felt his own smile falter. "This isn't very funny, Crowley." "Oh, I think it's hilarious." Aziraphale's fingers wrapped themselves around the rough metal bars of the gate as he felt something cold creep over his heart. "Crowley," he said sharply, "I'm serious. Open the door." "But it's so much more fun this way," Crowley drawled, making no move towards the lever Aziraphale knew lay just out of sight. "I mean, do you even know where you are?" Aziraphale tightened his grip on the gate. "Hell, Crowley, I know this is hell." "The angel walks right into hell," Crowley agreed, sounding like this was the opening line to a particularly amusing joke. "All I had to do was bat my eyes. You know that I'm a demon, right? And you, what, trusted me? I'm sorry, it's just too good. I'll be telling this one for centuries." Aziraphale froze, feeling the stirrings of actual panic along with confusion and disbelief. Crowley, I... Just let me out, okay? You just can't get it through your thick skull, can you? Crowley demanded, voice rising in volume as he strode forward. Crowley this, and Crowley that. You're one of the most pathetic excuses for an angel I've ever seen.
But we're friends, Aziraphale stammered.
The arrangement, everything. I don't understand. Crowley smirked, and suddenly his serpentine eyes looked more predatory than Aziraphale had ever seen them.
The arrangement, he echoed. More like a cunning ploy to gain your trust. And I'd say it worked perfectly well, didn't it? It was a long con, but I've got to tell you, the look on your face right now makes it all worth it.
Aziraphale's heart was beating twice its usual pace, and he felt like he'd tumbled into some sort of hallucination, the ground falling away beneath him, because there was no way that Crowley was saying all this to him.
There's something wrong with you, Aziraphale fumbled. You're being manipulated, or blackmailed, or something.
Hustler's behind this. I understand. Crowley's expression darkened, and he took a step closer, dark wings fanning out behind him.
Not in the slightest. This is all me, let me assure you. And Hustler. Why, what a pitiful demon I'd be if I were afraid of that imbecile.
Aziraphale was having trouble processing what Crowley was saying, didn't think it was possible he could have misread Crowley so completely for so long. They'd known each other for 6,000 years. Surely Crowley wasn't capable of hiding such a dark ulterior motive for all those years, not to mention all those drunken nights.
But you don't believe me, Crowley said, pacing even closer and leaning forward, hands folded behind his back, golden eyes gleaming.
That's a shame. Well, I'm sure you'll change your tune before long, when you're being torn limb from limb.
Aziraphale's insides twisted even further, and he felt his jaw lock.
Crowley leaned a little closer, expression jeering, and Aziraphale shot his arm forward, reaching between the bars and grabbing Crowley by the tie. He yanked his arm back, slamming the demon forward into the bars. Aziraphale flung his senses out and dived into Crowley's aura, searching for traces of meddling, possession, or anything else that would tell him that this Crowley wasn't his Crowley.
The aura was definitely Crowley's, but suddenly darker than Aziraphale ever remembered it having been before. Where once there had been fondness and affection, not only for Aziraphale, but for his possessions, his plants, humanity, and the world at large, there was now only a cold contempt. It was like sinking into a freshly drawn bath, expecting it to be warm, but instead finding it as cold as ice. The sight of the very fabric of Crowley's character drenched in such calculating malice hit Aziraphale like a blow, and he scrambled to retreat from Crowley's aura, feeling utterly unwelcome in a way he never had before.
"Who are you?" Aziraphale demanded in a shaking voice, switching its attention back to where he still had the demon shoved up against the bars, only a few inches from his own face.
"And what have you done with Crowley?"
Aziraphale searched his friend's serpentine eyes, but found no trace of the Crowley he had spent the last 6 millennia with. Crowley smiled, evidently amused by Aziraphale's tone.
It's me, my dear, he drawled, and turned his head so that they were nose to nose. Crowley's eyes were just as beautiful as ever, but there was a dark delight in them that rattled Aziraphale to the core.
What's the matter? Can't handle the truth.
I don't believe you, Aziraphale insisted, but his voice wavered.
It would be more entertaining if you did, Crowley said, tearing himself free from Aziraphale's grip and taking a step back. But I suppose it doesn't really matter.
Crowley miracled a long rod into his hand. Aziraphale quickly took a step away from the bars as Crowley reached out and struck at the gate. He dragged the end of the rod along the bars, filling the cramped space with a loud, ringing noise that echoed off the rocks.
What are you doing? Aziraphale demanded, feathers prickling with unease.
Crowley hit the bars one more time, hard, and the sound reverberated.
Dinner time, boys,
he called, and cast the metal rod behind him onto the floor with a clatter. There was a scrape and a clicking noise from behind Aziraphale, and he felt his blood run cold.
This is what happens to silly angels who are foolish enough to trust a demon, Crowley sneered. They don't last long.
Crowley, Aziraphale tried, moving up against the bars again as Crowley turned to leave.
This isn't you, but I know you're in there somewhere, and you don't have to do this. Please, Crowley.
We'll see how you feel about that in a few hours, Crowley said curtly, turning away and waving a hand vaguely in Aziraphale's direction.
See you never, angel.
And then Crowley strode around the outcropping of rock and was gone. The bars of the gate were cold under Aziraphale's hands as he stared after his friend, a bead of sweat already rolling down the back of his neck. Behind him, there came a scratching noise and a low, grating growl. Slowly, Aziraphale pivoted, pressing his back to the gate and staring into the inky darkness.
Let there be light, Aziraphale whispered hoarsely.
A pale blue light filled the cavern, illuminating four large, snarling black dogs prowling closer to him across the straw-strewn floor. Each was easily over a meter tall, skin stretched tight over corded muscle, eyes burned like coals from hideously shaped heads, and bared, yellowed teeth gleamed sickly in the conjured light. Aziraphale swallowed and drew his divine power to himself as the first hellhound sprang forward.
Crowley was used to being afraid. It was second nature to him. Below had been out to get him for almost as long as he could remember, and before that, heaven had cast him out and declared him fair game for any angel in a righteous mood. Austere and Ligur had taken extra pleasure in tormenting him at every opportunity, and Beelzebub had made good on his promises to torture Crowley for his lackluster demonic activity. Hell operated on a series of negative reinforcements, such as the reward for doing a great job was the knowledge that your life was only slightly less in grave danger. Crowley had lived with this background layer of fear for so long that he almost ceased to notice it, except for when his life was put in especial jeopardy. But never, in all his years, had Crowley ever been on the other side of that relationship. Never had Crowley been a thing to be feared. Crowley was beginning to see why fear was such an attractive weapon, because it was exhilarating. The demons fell to the ground as he walked past, faces pressed to the dark rock floor and wings frozen in fear.
No one dared turn an eye on him, and many fled at the first sign of his presence. Everywhere Crowley's feet touched the ground, it was as though a spell of reverence fell around him. Crowley didn't even have to announce his presence. He just walked right in, and every door opened before him, and every knee bowed. It was also terrifying. As Crowley passed through the third circle, he tugged his sunglasses out of his pocket and slid them on his nose so that, if anyone was looking, they wouldn't be able to see their terror reflected in his eyes. Crowley imagined that the punishment for impersonating a dictator was probably death, and prayed to anyone friendly who might be listening that he could find a way back to his own world before his double found a way back to this one. As Crowley strode through the fifth circle, tugging nervously on the ends of his sleeves, he noted distractedly that every demon he passed was wearing a beard. Specifically, a goatee. Crowley had only rarely been deeper than the sixth circle, and as he descended through the seventh, trying very much to look like he knew where he was going, he had to make a conscious effort to keep his wings from prickling with unease. He forced himself to imagine he was merely taking a stroll through St. James Park, walking confidently across paths he'd frequent many times, en route to meet Aziraphel. Everything was fine. Everything was under control. And Crowley was most certainly not entering the eighth circle of hell as though he owned the place. Draping himself in as many layers of cool as he could, Crowley strode forward until he entered a large rock cavern. Three tunnels radiated away from the cavern, but as Crowley hastily eyed their dark mouths, he could find nothing to indicate which led to the ninth and final circle. Luckily, the number of demons he'd encountered had decreased as he descended, and for the moment, he was alone. Crowley slowed to a stop and tried to pretend that he wasn't trying to guess which way to go next. At that moment, there was movement from the left-hand tunnel, and three demons emerged from the darkness. The first was a towering hulk Crowley recognized with a tremor of fear as the archdemon Asmodeus, whose reputation as a torturer was fearsome. He was dragging another demon along behind him by the back of his collar, the unfortunate creature's heels dragging on the floor as he made terrified little noises and struggled vainly to free himself. Behind them, both trailed the third demon. This one, a rather short fellow, holding a scroll and a long black quill. They made a beeline for him. Crowley, half frozen in fear, kept his expression as neutral as possible, glad he'd had the foresight to put his sunglasses on. And Asmodeus was still 3 meters away, the archdemon dropped to one knee, shoving the little demon he was dragging along behind him roughly to the ground as he did so. The demon with the scrolls knelt as well and bowed his head. "My lord," Asmodeus growled, voice grating. Behind him, the demon sprawled on the ground, hastily turned his gaze downward, bony fingers very pale against the rough ground. Crowley blinked down at the unfortunate prisoner in puzzlement. The demon's aura seemed familiar, but he didn't recognize the corporation. Crowley stared at him for a moment longer, trying to place where he knew the aura from, and then realized, a little belatedly, that Asmodeus was still waiting for him to respond. "Asmodeus," Crowley acknowledged, keeping his voice from trembling by sheer force of will. The archdemon bowed his head further, and then slowly climbed to his feet. He dragged the demon beside him to his feet as well, only to shove him back down to his knees, one hand heavy on his captive's collar. "This one," Asmodeus growled, "was caught on Earth again, against your express orders. He's already been thrown in the Fel Jafon once.
shall I have him broken on the wheel?
Forcing down an uneasy bile in the back of his throat, Crowley returned his gaze to the unfortunate demon. His head was hanging forward, lanky dark hair obscuring his face, and his clothes were a mix of dark, tattered garments that looked like they'd been lifted from the slums of 19th century London. He was holding himself remarkably still, but his wings were trembling. Crowley drew a deep breath to steady himself, still trying to work out where he knew the demon from.
What does he have to say for himself?
The unfortunate prisoner shrunk further inwards, still keeping his head down. Asmodeus growled and shifted his grip to the demon's hair, yanking his head up.
You heard your emperor speak.
As the demon's face came into view, Crowley finally pieced together who it was. Back in his world, he hadn't seen this demon in over a century, but they'd always been on somewhat good terms, as much as demons could be. He'd gained a bit of fame cutting deals with humans in the 16th century, and Crowley had taken it upon himself to seek out the competition and see what he was up against. Of course, it turned out that the demon responsible had been far more reluctant to make the deal with the human in question than the human himself, and Crowley had found in him a kindred spirit where appreciation of the earth was concerned. Kneeling before him, eyes watery and terrified, was the demon Mephistopheles.
Please, I was just having a look around. It's so dark down here.
It's supposed to be dark. It's hell,
growled Asmodeus, yanking Mephistopheles' head back further, until the lesser demon gasped with pain, pinpricks of tears appearing in his eyes.
You were hoping to incite rebellion, weren't you? Tell the truth.
Mephistopheles sucked in a rattling breath and turned his gaze up to Crowley. The plea was clear in his eyes, pure desperation for salvation he must know wouldn't be granted. The wispy hairs on his chin, from where he'd tried to grow a goatee, trembled. Crowley stared into the terrified eyes of the demon before him and was glad again that he was wearing his sunglasses. He ground his teeth together.
My lord,
Mephistopheles croaked, tears beginning to spill down his cheeks.
Please, I wish you no harm. I couldn't. It's so dark. I just wanted.
Mephistopheles broke off, voice choked. Asmodeus growled again and released his grip on Mephistopheles' collar, bringing his hand back in preparation to strike him across the cheek. Crowley held up a hand. Asmodeus stopped immediately and gave Crowley a sideways glance.
I have heard enough,
Crowley said calmly, racking his brain furiously for something he could say that wouldn't give him away.
I'd like to deal with this personally. An example must be made.
Mephistopheles blanched even further and scrambled towards Crowley, throwing himself at his emperor's feet.
Please, my lord, please! I'll do anything, I swear! I just wanted to see the sky!
Asmodeus lurched forward and roughly dragged Mephistopheles to his feet. For a moment, the terrified demon was only a fraction of a meter away from Crowley. The two of them were nearly exactly the same height. Mephistopheles stared at him in terror, desperation written across every line of his face, and Crowley looked directly back at him, trying to convey some form of reassurance without giving himself away. For a heartbeat, their eyes met through the dark lenses of Crowley's sunglasses, and Crowley winked. A puzzled expression passed over Mephistopheles' face, and then he was sharply pulled away by Asmodeus.
"Take him to the Emperor's quarters," the archdemon commanded, shoving Mephistopheles roughly towards the third demon, who'd been standing stoically this whole time with his quill and scroll.
The third demon nodded and snapped his fingers. Manacles sprang around Mephistopheles' wrists, the other ends of the chain falling into the hands of his new captor. Without a word, the short demon turned and marched back in the direction Crowley had come, yanking Mephistopheles after him. The captive demon had stopped crying for the moment, and Crowley saw him glance back towards him before they vanished into the darkness of the corridor. Crowley turned his attention back to Asmodeus, who was feeling more confident now and hoped it wouldn't be his undoing.
"I want to see Lucifer," Crowley stated, keeping his face forward.
"The prisoner?" Asmodeus asked, and then shook himself.
"Of course, my lord."
He hesitated.
"Shall I accompany you?"
"For now," Crowley said, hoping Asmodeus would take the lead. The archdemon didn't move for a few moments, and Crowley felt a bead of sweat roll between his shoulder blades as he wondered what to say next. Luckily, after another heartbeat, Asmodeus dipped his head and started down the central of three hallways branching off into the darkness. Crowley fell into step behind him. They descended down a tight, winding spiral staircase, the rock here gleaming black obsidian. The heat grew oppressive the further down they went, until Crowley was sweating so heavily his shirt was soaked all the way through. It was pitch black, and he was afraid he'd miss a step and go crashing forward into Asmodeus, so Crowley pulled off his sunglasses and stowed them away back in his jacket pocket. It didn't help much, but he thought he could make out a few more faint shapes in the darkness. The air around them grew dense and heavy, and Crowley's wings twitched uncomfortably in the change in the atmosphere. It felt like they were walking into the center of the earth. A faint light began to filter up the stairwell, and shortly thereafter, the stairway widened slightly, and Crowley saw the silhouette of Asmodeus in front of him come to a stop. Crowley ground to a halt beside and a little behind the archdemon and looked past him in horror. The staircase terminated in a short landing, the floor abruptly falling away as a massive cavern opened up beneath them. And, filling the bottom of the cavern, nearly 100 meters in diameter, stretched a great lake of fire. Crowley felt his feathers stand on end as he gazed down at it. He could feel the heat rolling off it, even from this distance. Fire was a bit generous, though. It looked more like lava to him, though bits of it were certainly on fire as well. Asmodeus, who Crowley saw with some sort of strange relief, was also sweating bullets, spread charcoal wings, and stepped off the short ledge. Crowley, a little afraid to be separated from his guide, even if that guide was an archdemon who could obliterate him in an instant, took off after him. Asmodeus glided down towards the surface of the lake, feathers trembling slightly in the stale, windless air. Crowley followed him nervously, feeling the heat increase as they lost altitude. The lake sizzled beneath them, the glowing surface spitting up globs of lava and bubbling like a witch's cauldron. A bubble expanded near Crowley's foot and exploded, sending droplets flying upward, and Crowley had to perform a hasty miracle to keep the red-hot globs from crashing into his wings. Asmodeus began to bank left, and Crowley saw where they were going. Right in the center of the flaming lake of lava sat a small donut-shaped island, the ring of land surrounded by another, smaller, circular pools of lava, and from the exact middle of this pool rose a long, massive chain. The chain stretched all the way up to the ceiling of the cavern, where Crowley saw a wheel and a pulley hanging next to a few other shorter chains. Asmodeus slowed his flight, huge wings flaring up as he decreased his momentum. Crowley followed his lead, coming to a standstill as he pumped his wings and stared down at the circle of lava within the island. The archdemon turned, gave Crowley a grave nod, and began beating his wings harder, driving himself upwards. Crowley climbed a few meters himself. Some of the flames dancing along the surface of the lava were growing a little too close for comfort, and tilted his head back. Above him, Asmodeus worked his way closer to the roof of the cavern, where the chain met the ceiling. Crowley watched as Asmodeus pulled at something near the large pulley, his huge charcoal wings fighting to keep him aloft. Several loud clanking noises drifted down to Crowley, and a moment later, Asmodeus began flying backwards, wing strokes buffeting the ceiling. Crowley watched him nervously, unsure what was happening. Then he saw the chain in Asmodeus's grip and understood. Crowley's eyes roved back to the lake of fire as, above him, Asmodeus strained backwards, dragging the chain with him. Down, in the circle of lava within the ring-shaped island, the chain shivered and began to rise. The massive iron rings that emerged from the pool of lava were red-hot, flames licking along them as the chain moved steadily upwards. After a dozen or so meters of chain had emerged from the lava, some of the rings smoking quite profusely, the surface of the lake began to quiver. Crowley automatically beat his wings harder, taking himself a little higher as the lava in the pool began to rise. The chain rose higher and the lava ascended with it, until it was spilling over the island and streaming back into the main lake. The form of something large and square began to rise out of the lava, and Crowley felt his sweat evaporate directly off his skin as a fresh wave of flames streamed across the mottled surface of the lake. Asmodeus pulled the chain back even further, and slowly, an iron cage rose out of the lake of fire. It was a perfect cube, with a solid top and bottom panels and vertical bars along all sides. It was a little smaller than Crowley had originally thought, not quite tall enough for a person to stand up inside of comfortably. The cage rose higher, lava spilling out between the bars and splashing down into the lake. And from deep within the cage, something gasped for breath. Every atom in Crowley's body was screaming, "Run, you idiot!" And his hammering heart was telling him to do the same. But he was transfixed with fear, staring in horror as Asmodeus lifted the cage all the way out of the lake. There was a large clank from somewhere above and behind Crowley, and the cage bounced and swung slightly, the last of the lava streaming out from between the bars and spilling onto the island. Crowley tore his gaze from the cage and glanced over his shoulder, where he saw that Asmodeus had secured the last link of the chain to a very large metal hook hanging from the ceiling. The archdemon saw Crowley looking, gave him a bow in midair, and flew back in the direction of the staircase. Crowley watched him go and wished fervently that he'd come back. A grating groan came from behind him, and Crowley swallowed and slowly turned his head back around to face the cage. The last of the lava rolled off the ring-shaped island and vanished into the lake, but the heat rising off the island's obsidian surface was still visible, the mirage twisting the bars of the cage. Crowley swallowed heavily and forced himself to drop lower, until the lake was sizzling only meters beneath him. The heat was incredible, and Crowley felt the ends of a few of his feathers singe. Bloody hell, Crowley thought, and landed on the island. As predicted, the ground was unbearably hot, and Crowley felt the leather soles of his shoes ignite almost immediately. He hastily cooled the ground using a quick miracle and returning his shoes back to their previous shape while he was at it. He was rather fond of these shoes.
"Crowley,"
a voice rumbled from the cage, scratchy and grating. Crowley slowly turned his head up until he was gazing into the cage, and there, looking very much like death himself, was Lucifer. Crowley didn't trust himself to speak, so for a long moment he just stared, frozen in horror. Inside the cage, Lucifer was mostly curled up on his side, one arm propping himself up. He was gaunt and wan, skin stretched tight over his bones, red and raw in places and oozing something yellow in others. Behind him arched three sets of wings, plucked completely free of feathers, leaving just the bleeding skeletal remains with enough skin and ligaments left to turn Crowley's stomach. Lucifer stared out at him with flat, hungry eyes, and his mouth had dropped open into what might have been a smile of greeting. Crowley hastily ripped his gaze away and fixed it instead on the floor of the cage, which he was surprised to see was covered with a thin film of what looked like ice. Actually, much of the cage was covered with flakes of ice, though they were quickly vaporizing in the intense heat. Crowley remembered suddenly that the ninth circle of hell was rumored to burn cold, not hot, and wondered bleakly if he was in the ninth circle after all. Was there something worse still that lay even deeper beneath this awful lake of fire?
Come to gloat,
Lucifer rasped, voice ravaged. The disgraced seraph dragged himself closer, reaching out to wrap one mottled hand around one of the cage's bars, and Crowley took an automatic step backwards. The back of his heel started sinking into lava, and Crowley quickly pulled it out again, using another miracle to decrease the temperature around him to a more manageable level.
Lucifer,
Crowley stammered.
I will flay you, you know that.
Lucifer hissed, drawing himself right up to the cage bars with stiff, jerky movements.
And then I will pluck out all your lovely feathers one by one and crush your bones.
Crowley's mouth went very dry. It had nothing to do with the heat. Actually, Crowley said with a bravery he didn't feel, I had a question for you. Lucifer heaved a scratchy, theatrical sigh and sagged further against the bars. The cage tipped very slightly, and a few rivulets of blood rolled to the edge and dripped off, vaporizing as they touched the surface of the lava.
Another one. So curious, Mr. Emperor, sir.
Do you know how to open a portal to another universe? Crowley asked bluntly, skin crawling. Lucifer paused. He turned his head towards Crowley, resting his forehead against the bars. Then he sat up slowly, fixing his hollow eyes on the lesser demon. He sat up further, drawing himself right up against the edge of the cage and pressing his face against the bars, which Crowley noted distractedly were carved with glyphs. Lucifer's eyes bored into his, dark and powerful, and Crowley quickly looked away.
Oh, now that's interesting. Crowley didn't respond, letting the Seraph reach the conclusion on his own.
You're not Crowley at all, are you?
No, Crowley said, and was relieved when his voice came out steady. Swallowing nervously, Crowley turned and took a few steps along the curved island, trying to hide the fact that his knees were shaking. Lucifer shifted in his cage to follow Crowley's movements, wrapping his bony hands around the bars of the cage.
You're from the other world.
So you were the one who opened the portal in the first place? Crowley confirmed.
Indeed.
Can you open it again?
You'd have to actually do the deed.
Lucifer rasped.
But I could tell you how if I were so inclined.
Good, Crowley said, coming to a stop and taking a deep breath, trying to steady his nerves. Because I have a proposal for you. End of chapter 5.